What would be the point in confessing a sin for which you had guilt but no real remorse? Bless me, universe, for I have sinned, but I'd do it again in a heartbeat. With Libby, I stand a minuscule chance of forgiveness. She looks exactly like I thought she would, too, standing in front of the school with yellow cottonwood leaves dripping down from their tree branch faucets. Exactly 10 years older since I saw her last, exactly like a 30-year-old small-town woman should look, coarse brown hair pulled back in a raggedy ponytail, an oversized white T-shirt and cheap brand jeans and cheaper brand white tennis shoes. I watch her from across the parking lot as she chats with a kid who must be my daughter, outside the same red brick, square box, podunk, crappy school we went to. A crow squawks and the blue sky squawks in return. A home of the pirates' flags flap, and oh, Libby, my sweet sister, you've never seen the ocean. You've never taken something that was unrightfully yours. You've never had to go running across countries. You've put on blinders so as to sweetly sail through the suffering that this world offers. Libby turns in my direction, thinking that, from the corner of her eye, down the street from the school, holy camoly, there's someone who resembles Tess, her good-looking, snarky, troublemaking sister, the sister she hasn't seen for 10 years. But no, impossible. This person is too horrible to be her sister. And yet, could it be? Is it a look-alike? Her imagination? I look past Libby at the kid, Amber, broad brushstrokes from here, barrette pulling back a twist of brown hair, turquoise sweatshirt, red backpack, senses perhaps her mother's intake of breath, and turns to stare at me too. In this instant, Libby knows she could say, "Why, look, see over there? That's your mother, or at least the woman who gave birth to you, whom we haven't seen since. But she's not looking like we'd expect now, is she?" But instead, she says something along the lines of, "Have a good day, dear heart," and gives the kid a nudge, and Amber takes off skipping directly up to a group of ponytailed, backpack-wearing girls, her twist of hair already breaking loose. Libby turns and stares, looking at me across the cracked parking lot and across the cracked ears, even after the bell rings and the children's squeals and laughter retreat inside the building and the three yellow swings are left swinging, empty of their energy. I offer a small wave of the hand, such a small movement with such potential, and now each of us are standing in the new silence, staring at and considering the considerable space that separates us, including 100 feet and 10 years, and 1,000 different emotions. Who will take the first step forward? A gust pelts roadway dirt into my face, but I don't duck and I don't blink. I shift my weight from one foot to the other, push my thumbs into my stomach to stop the ache, and hear myself moan a soft surprise sorrow. Still, she doesn't move. So I do. I take the first step toward my sister with a "please don't turn and go" being whispered by every cell of my aching, storming body.